Just, Bob, when you heard this, I know there have been rumblings and all that coming. First of all, did you really think that this day would ever come for Washington to leave the Pac-12?
Absolutely not, until the defections of USC and UCLA, and at that time, that had seemed pretty well foreordained that there were big changes in the wind, and the absence of a television deal for the conference just grew more and more and more telling, and in the end, told the entire story. And what once was a really good league and a fun league to be involved with suddenly was no more.
I mean, even with all the signs and things there, how much of a gut punch was that when you first heard the news?
I think the blow was softened a little bit, Paul, by a lot of things. I was obviously not as close to it as I was once upon a time. I'm not a Washington alum, but certainly have great ties to the school, obviously. But I don't think gut punches is necessarily a fair term. Mixed emotions, to be sure. Some excitement about what might lie ahead, and some disappointment in what lies in the rubble, including for a couple of schools that I have great respect for, both the programs and the people involved, and that's the Cougs and the Beavers. I feel dreadfully sorry for both of them. I think they had the rug pulled out from underneath them, and there wasn't a whole lot they were going to be able to do about it. And now they're left kind of at sea and looking for a rescue boat somewhere down the line. And hopefully that comes in some form. It's going to have to come very soon. But I really feel badly for them because they were their two programs, obviously smaller markets, but doing their damnedest to compete in a tough league and have done a great job of it, the Cougs through the years, of course. And then the resurgence of Oregon State with Jonathan Smith, an old friend of mine from his coaching days at Washington with Chris Peterson. He's done a fabulous job in getting Oregon State into a position of contention in the Pac-12. And it's a shame to see that kind of momentum just completely subverted by what has happened.
Yeah, they beat Oregon the last 2 years, haven't they?
They're solid. They play a really physical brand of football. They do a lot of things right. Jonathan's done a great recruiting job, but I think more to the point is he has done a great coaching job in getting that to be a program to once again believe in itself. And yeah, they have been hung out horribly to dry, and that's a shame.
Bob, is it safe to say that this is a football move rather than these other sports like, say, softball and baseball, where travel's just going to kill some of these athletes? I mean, we're already seeing coaches speak out, kind of saying, do we really think about these other sports with them traveling during the week, already having a tough time missing those classes? Is this mainly a football move? That's safe to say, right?
Well, in the arrogance of football, they would tell you that those other guys wouldn't even be around if it weren't for us. So let's understand that. Football is completely the bus driver in this, and if you want to get on the bus, fine. If you don't, well, so be it. But it's all about football. It's all about eyes on the product and so forth, and football always is going to be in the commanding position in that regard. And I do sympathize with the Olympic sports programs. Those kids compete just as hard as the football guys do. Without the same kind of recognition nor without the same kind of importance. And they are going to be up against it from a travel perspective, to be sure. And we'll see what happens with the Bay Area schools. If they perchance get a call to the Big Ten, then things might change a little bit where you've got a six-team Western branch that might allay some of those travel issues. That very much remains to be seen. But I do empathize with the programs. Are going to have to spend a lot of time on the road, a lot more time on the road than they already do, which in some cases is probably too much already.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Bob. You went to Colorado, correct?
Correct.
So it's kind of not as bittersweet, I guess, seeing them go back to where they started in the Big 12. But I think those schools are kind of getting overlooked a little bit. What are your thoughts on those, you know, southern schools, the Arizona, Utah, and Colorado jump into the Big 12 as well? Of course, at that point, they had no other option. But what was your initial reaction to seeing your alma mater go back along with those other schools?
Yeah, I've been away from Colorado, Matthew, for an awfully long time. So there's not that huge attachment. But it's interesting to note that the four schools who came latest to the then Pac-8, and I go back to those days, the Arizona's making it the Pac-10, and then of course Colorado and Utah making it the Pac-12. So they were the newest to the party, had probably the least sort of history with the conference, and were less embedded in that regard than the other schools in the league. And so, not necessarily surprising that they would go back and move to the Big 12, which probably had they had an invitation way back when to get into the Big 12, they might have gone earlier. But I think it was a pretty soft landing for those three schools, and one not unexpected. And again, a testament to the foresight and I think the aggression of the Big 12 in, pardon me, guys, in putting itself into a position of leadership in the greater scheme of things, instead of a position of being a follower, which the Pac-12 unfortunately was cast as just that.
Bob, overall, I mean, the direction, especially of college football, as you said, they're the bus driver here, and there's plenty on the bus. But to me, the danger is folks like me, and there's our CPA came in this morning, Ron. He's an older guy. He's a UW fan and grad. And boy, I can tell you, my interest was wanting in college sports to begin with, because high school takes up so much of my time. And we have high school games now Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays. So my interest was beginning to moved away. Anyway, I can tell you right now, I don't think I can possibly care less about college sports right now, the big college. I'm not going to be a fan of the Big Ten. I'm just not. With the NIL, it's very, very, I find myself interesting that I agree 100% with Lane Kiffin, of all people, who basically says the NIL has just turned into legalized cheating. And the amount of money that's going to these kids in the portal and all of this stuff, I know most you got to miss most of that as your career is the voice of the Huskies, but just with, you know, and I know things are bound to change. We're all up that, but man, this is a whole lot in the last couple of years.
Well, as Lane Kiffin would well know, there's been cheating going on an awfully long time in his sport. And as Lane Kiffin also would know, he has benefited substantially from the growth and the current condition of the sport. So I kind of take with a blink of an eye comes out of his mouth. But
I should say this, hey Bob. Let me say this. He did say that doesn't mean I'm not going to follow. I'm not going to continue to do what we're doing.
Exactly.
So at least he was honest.
We have no choice. We've never had much of a choice to do it, but now at least we can do it out in the open. And what the heck? It is the wild, wild west. Unfortunately, referencing that part of the country, but it's the wild, wild west in collegiate athletics, and especially in college football. And careful what you wish for. As it has turned out. Yeah. You know, there was the great disdain for the NCAA, much of it well justified. But once the NCAA became completely powerless in this game, and the inmates took over the asylum, it's interesting how people kind of lament that the days gone by when this stuff just didn't happen. Gosh, those were the good old days. All the time during those days complaining about the autocracy of the NCAA, but there is no centrality now, no sort of a binding force, if you will, to govern this stuff, and it's every man for himself. The NIL became every player for himself, and as we have seen from the various institutions involved, the NIL has gone to an institutional level. It's everybody for themselves. Either get in the pool or get out, and risk drowning along the way. And that's probably, you know, just been the genesis of it all. Once those walls were broken down, all hell has broken loose. And there needs at some point to be some sort of unification of the whole product, and some sort of consistency in the application of what few rules remain. Or, you know, this thing is, you're just going to see more and more and more of this, ultimately resulting in just a complete free-for-all system. And those who are rich now are going to be richer then, and those who are poor now will be destitute.
I think, Bob, that if it's not already happening, you're going to see boosters, and this could really benefit schools with, you know, for instance, if you had a big booster that was a huge baseball fan, and you say, well, why would you want to go play single A baseball? I'll give you $100,000 a year in an NIL, but you got to stay here for 4 years. So basically a contract. Do you see? I think that we're going to see that. I think we're going to see boosters tell basketball players, you don't want to leave for the NBA early, I can pay you more than you can get in a rookie contract in the NBA. But I need you to stay with this you know, this school for at least X number of years. Do you think that that's a possibility?
It's not only going to happen, Paul. It's happened. Yeah, it okay. is ongoing. Go ask Michael Penix why he didn't necessarily make himself available to the NFL draft last year.
Okay.
There's one reason, and one reason alone, because I've got a guarantee of how much money I'm going to get here, and there is no guarantee of how much money I might get there, and it behooves me to take the sure thing. Heck yes, I'm going to stay. And you talked about the contract between boosters and players. Is it a four-year contract? Not really. These are all year-to-year deals. And, you know, the transfer portal kind of opened the door for that, and then the NIL on top of it. So you're going to see this happening nationwide and sport to sport. Look at women's basketball. Caitlin Clark at Iowa is making about four times what she would max in salary in the WNBA. Why in the world would she go out? She wouldn't. So she's coming back and having another year at Iowa in front of capacity crowds at her university, and with a salary that by the time she turns pro, she's going to take a pay cut.
It's definitely a new world, that's for sure.
Recruiting wise, this seems to me, we deal a lot with high school sports. This seems like it might take a little bit out of a blow out of in-state recruiting. We've already heard people from both Wazoo and UW beg to try and keep this in-state talent in-state. Do you think it's going to get even worse now that, you know, there's going to be competing schools from the Big Ten that, hey, we don't want to just let Washington have these free players in Washington or Oregon get these Oregon guys. Do you think we're going to see even a bigger diminish of in-state talent staying in-state? Because I'm not too proud to admit, Wazoo's their biggest claim in trying to get recruits is, hey, at least you can still come play Power 5, and now that's gone. So do you think in-state guys, we're going to see even more of them flood out?
I'm not sure that's necessarily the case in Washington's case or in Washington's situation or in Oregon's, Matthew. I don't see where that is going to change a lot. If you've got a kid in-state that dreams about playing in the Big Ten, and goodness knows, there's a couple of guys playing at Ohio State right now that Washington lusted for, Washington kids that went away for a bigger program in a bigger league. Well, now if you're the University of Washington, hey, we're in that league. You don't have to go away. You can come play under that sort of microscope, if you will, stay in Washington. Why would you not? And likewise, the same case in Oregon. I don't know how much it will necessarily hurt the Washington and Oregons of the world. It could be absolutely crushing, again, to the Washington states and Oregon states of the world, trying to keep kids at home and under their guise, depending on what league and where and when they wind up. I don't necessarily see it as being a huge negative as far as the Huskies are concerned at all.
Bob, with the Pac-12, now the Pac-4, there's been some some scenarios that maybe the Mountain West merges with that, and then they continue to keep the Pac whatever. Would that be something you'd like to see? So at least the conference stays alive, or with it being dismantled as it is, would you rather just see it retired at this point?
I think I'd just as soon see it retired and let's move on. Obviously, that's kind of the direction we're headed here. I'd like to see, the Cougs and the Beavs land someplace solid, be it the Mountain West or whatever. I'm not sure there is sufficient strength nor sufficient vision among the four remaining schools in whatever this conference is now to go out and try to be an assembly type situation and bring others in. I think those four remaining schools are at the mercy of everybody else right now. I'm sure Stanford and Cal, if you told them tomorrow the Big Ten has decided they want you, they are gone in a heartbeat, absolute heartbeat. California especially. Stanford, a little bit of a different deal with their sort of national reputation and national branding, but those two would be gone in a minute, and so that leaves you Washington State and Oregon State and the Mountain West, I'm sure, would be all too happy to take them in rather than lose some of its membership and disband its own league that they're trying to build to form some other sort of remnant of a Pac-12 on the West Coast. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty well. It's just so disheartening that all of that history is just gone in a blink. The history isn't gone, of course, but just the knowing that it's not going to return. And we probably should have seen the writing on the wall, a long time ago, when they went to the playoff format and allowed other teams other than the Pac-10 and Big Ten in the Rose Bowl to begin with. That was kind of the first step in my mind of seeing these big changes coming, and then that to me was like the little snowball at the top of the mountain there, and it has certainly rolled downhill and picked up a lot of steam here. What do you think the future is of all those bowls, and how this, are the bowls going to continue, or do you see just a much bigger playoff system, much like what the NCAA does with basketball? Is that where that whole thing might end up as well?
I would think so. And, the bowls will continue. And, if we look way down the road, I mean, it's conceivable this could become a March Madness model in January and February, and everybody in it for themselves, and you got a 64 or 86 or however many team playoff, and the bowls obviously become a factor in that. The regular season probably would diminish somewhat as a result, but that's certainly something you could envision down the road. And I'm going to go back to what you said a minute ago, Paul, about the BCS and the playoffs and so forth, and I would agree with that. But I think the issues here, as far as the Pac-12 are concerned, are far more longstanding and go back a lot farther than that. I think this was a conference that never really took advantage of the history you spoke of, never really sought to endorse that and enhance that. I think this conference has been victimized by just colossal leadership failure from the institutions themselves and from the people running the league. And this goes back to the Pac-8 days. I don't think the conference ever really strengthened its brand. I think a lot was taken for granted here. And they didn't see the bus coming that ultimately ran over them. You know, you can go back to the Tom Hansen days. Tom was a great guy and a suitable leader at the time, but not particularly forward thinking. You know, back in those days, in the early Pac-10 days, the conference made ESPN mad once upon a time, if you'll recall it, and it was over basketball. But it was a wound that never, ever healed, and one that came back to bite them in the end with the power that ESPN generated. And there was a certain neglect of the conference ever since then. Larry Scott, obviously, was an absolute unmitigated disaster in this conference. The Pac-12 network, complete failure. And again, in an age when it's all about distribution, ask Walmart, ask Amazon, you know, ask the television networks, ask Fox, and ask ESPN. It's all about distribution to eyeballs, and the Pac-12 was way late to the party in trying to realize that and make it a part of their strategy going forward. I just think it's a shame that it's happened, but probably was, given the lack of leadership on all fronts, was going to happen at some point. It was just a question of when.
Which is interesting to me, as the University of Washington, one of their complaints was that there wasn't enough traditional option in the deal that they had with Apple or whatever, that there wasn't linear TV, whereas, okay, yeah, that's part of it, but that's that we're seeing more and more that's not the strength of getting eyeballs on your product anymore either. So,
well, in one day, in all likelihood, will be.
Yeah.
And again, I talk about forward thinking. The notion of, well, there's no linear TV, you can read that to mean there's not enough money coming from Apple to justify our staying in this conference right now, whereas the Big Ten has money coming from everywhere, and we're going to go grab a hunk of that because we need it now, not 20 years down the road. But, you know, nobody thought the Internet was going to be a big deal either once upon a time. I'm serious about that, and this has happened in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're naive if you don't think that the streaming services are one day going to dominate the whole party, and linear TV, whatever that is, will be a complete thing of the past and strictly a vehicle for the streaming services. So I think it was, again, a bit short-sighted, but taking the money that was there and running with it rather than gambling that something might be better down the road. And let's, there's a key word right there. Let's not forget the impact of gambling on all this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you know, we all want to be true to our schools, but a good portion of the distribution audience that we talked about could care less in terms of the schools, and they could care completely in terms of the point spread and the over-under, and our ability to do that, do it legally from anywhere. I can do it in my phone now. Rest assured, that is a massive part of what all is going on right now.
No question about it. Bob, I always say that, you know, they talk about the dot-com bust in the 90s. I said that wasn't a bust. It was just too much, too soon, too early. And everything they talked about in the 90s is happening right now. You know, with Amazon.
Not to mention what's going to happen in the 2030s and 2040s. Yeah. Not that we're going to give a damn about it by then anyway. But, you know, it's a completely changed and ever-changing landscape here. And if you're uncomfortable with the notion, you know, go find something else to do. But that's where it's at, and that's where it's going.
Bob, I have one last question, and obviously I'm looking at this as one of the two schools on the outside looking in, not invited to the party. I know it's not called this anymore. Are the Civil War and the Apple Cup in serious jeopardy of no longer happening every year? Is it going to be more of a rare occurrence that we see those rivalry games played?
Probably as we know them, Matthew, yes, they are in serious jeopardy, but I'd like to think they were, you'd have an ability to maintain them going forward if they're in fact that important to you. I would suggest making it, instead of the season finale, the regular season finale, make it the season opener. And that way you have time to build it up and, you know, do all your back and forth and so forth. It's not the same as playing in November, but I think game one of the season for the Apple Cup would be great. Likewise, the Civil War, and why not? They do become non-conference games down the road, but you at least are able to preserve the notion of that in-state rivalry and keep those fires burning, albeit not quite as strongly as before.
Well, that, and then if, you know, Oregon State or Washington State pull off the upset, you know, Washington and Oregon still have time to rebound from that, right, Bob?
Yeah, there you go.